First of all, I'm thankful to be part of this very exciting forum. If we talk about how to feed the world in the future, the growing world population, we cannot do this without having something on the agenda. And this something I brought with me, it's in here. I'll show it to you. It's this here. This is a potato, if you can see it from the back. In order to avoid any speculations, this is a normal potato. The hotel kitchen was as kind to provide this exemplar here to me. So, and I put the sticker of our conference here on this potato. And the idea is that this potato is a wonderful food crop, but from time to time it needs some help from us scientists, from the scientific academies, and basically of all of us in this room here today. And I will show you why that is the case in order to increase the sustainability of food production. Potato is the fourth biggest food crop after maize, wheat, and rice, with an annual production of 330 million tons. And if you take away the maize that goes into feed and energy, it's even on rank three. But above that, potato holds all the features that are required as a food of the future. First of all, it's adapted to a broad range of climatic conditions. And it actually produces more calories per unit of land and per unit of water than any other of the major crops. And think about it, this. I mean, it produces per liter of water 5.6 calories. Rice does 2, wheat 2.3, and corn, maize does 3.9 calories per liter of water. So, it's highly rich in carbohydrates, micronutrients, vitamin C, potassium. The protein is of high quality because it closely matches in its amino acid composition what we require as a food. To really understand potato, it's good to have a look into a potato history. First cultivation in the Andes dates back 8,000 years. Potato was then brought to Europe by the Spanish in the 16th century, and like all good innovations, it was greeted with a kind of skepticism in the beginning, and actually it took over a century for the European to really understand what value they have, what value we have in this potato. And it was, you see here this painting of Frederick the Great of Prussia, we call him der alte Fritz in Germany. He had the foresight to order his subjects to plant potatoes in order to increase food security. Sometimes he even had guards around potato fields in order to increase the interest of the people in the potato. Well, nowadays we also have to guard potatoes from time to time, but that's to decrease the interest of some individuals in our potato fields, actually. So, by the early 19th century, potato was established as a staple food in Northern Europe, increasing food security, but since only a droplet of the rich potato gene pool of the Andes was brought to Europe, it was a very fragile increase in food security, because there were only a few cultivars brought and they were not able to defend very well pests and diseases. And then in the mid-19th century, the catastrophe happens. Late blight disease entered Europe, it raged throughout Europe and caused the big Irish famine. In 5 years, three entire harvests were destroyed in Ireland. 1 million people died, another 1 million had to leave the country. The fight against late blight is still ongoing today. This disease is still the most devastating of potato disease, destroying up to 20% of global harvests. It is caused by oomycete. It's called Phytophthora infestans, which infects leaves and stems of potatoes. You can see this on these pictures, and is able to destroy an entire potato field. In the developed countries, farmers are able to protect their harvest by the use of modern fungicides, but given the aggressiveness of this disease, they have to spray 10 to 16 times per season. And also the aggressiveness of strains is increasing. Organic farming has decided not to use the synthetic fungicides that we have today. They rely on copper to fight off Phytophthora. My personal opinion is here, with a heavy metal, this is not truly a green solution to this problem that we have, that we are facing here. A truly green solution has been developed by nature already a long time ago in the form of wild potatoes in South America, which are completely resistant to this disease. We have here the example of Solanum bulbocastanum. It is a small plant, and you can see it produces tiny tubers here in the comparison with a table potato as we know it. Of course, potato breeders have been trying to transfer this resistance to our modern varieties. They have been doing that for 50 years, but the results are still not satisfactory because of the low agronomic performance of these products, of these potatoes now. And why is that so? Because in classical breeding, you mix entire genomes. And basically what you need from these wild potatoes is one or two genes, the resistance genes, and all the other genes that come along. In classical breeding, they basically turn down the agronomic performance. And you need a lot of back crossing, and then finally you end up with a potato that still contains some of the wild potato genes. Now with plant biotechnology, you can do that very selective. You can pick one or two genes that you want to transfer, and all the other genes remain unchanged, so you will continue with the good varieties that you have developed, that the breeders have developed over decades and centuries, and just add the one trait that you want. And this is actually what we have done when we made our potato Fortuna. We actually transferred two resistance genes of this wild potato. They are called BLB1 and BLB2. We introduced these into a successful processing variety in Europe. It's called Fontaine. It's mainly used for making French fries. And we used the agrobacterium-mediated transformation. After the work of Professor Werner Aber, I think this is just the logical continuation of the tools that he has developed. And here are some pictures of the transformation and regeneration of the plantlets up to the plants in the greenhouse. Now, what do these resistance genes do in Fortuna? When Phytophthora infects a cell, it secretes some effector proteins into the cell. And now in Fortuna, there are the BLB1 and BLB2 proteins. And those recognize some of these effector proteins, and they then trigger a signaling cascade which exists in all cells and leads to a programmed cell death. So this cell dies for the benefit of the entire plant. And it's an independent mechanism. We have BLB1, we have BLB2, and they serve as a safety net for each other. We've tested Fortuna in the field since 2006. We've been in the UK, Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, in Czech Republic, and in Sweden. And under all conditions, this resistance was robust, and the variety characteristics have not been changed. It's actually quite impressive to see on this picture which effect these two genes can make for the life of a potato, especially when late blight hits. Fortuna, as all other plant biotech products, have to run through a safety assessment, which considers human and animal health, as well as environmental safety. We just submitted the dossier for Fortuna 2 weeks ago, the dossier for cultivation for food and feed use in the EU. And this contains broad and in-depth studies covering different levels, molecular characterization, food and feed safety studies, environmental safety studies, a monitoring plan, a detection method. That all was submitted, and Fortuna will only be approved in Europe once the authorities will conclude that Fortuna is as safe as any other conventionally bred potato. So we hope for a smooth approval process for Fortuna, and that we then, from the mid of this decade on, will be able to provide this as an additional solution for the farmers, which will have the effect that the majority of fungicide applications can be replaced. From the 10 to 16, we will be down to 3. We still have to fight Alternaria. We have to do some resistance management, but we will save heavily on fungicides, on energy, which is mainly fuel to bring out the fungicides, and workforce. So this will increase the sustainability of potato production, have some convenience factors for the farmer, reduce the workload at peaks. You have to travel less with a tractor, that reduces soil compactions. We expect a higher yield because we have a permanent protection throughout the season, and we expect a higher storage stability because lesions by Phytophthora on the tuber, they are the entrance for bacterial diseases in the storage, and so we get rid of those. So in summary, I think I convinced you that potatoes are important, that they are the food of the future, that we may need to help potatoes in a way to enlarge the gene pool that we use for potato cultivation. This is technically much quicker done, and sometimes it's the only way to do it with gene technology, because we transfer just the genes that we want to transfer, we avoid mixing entire genomes, and we maintain all the features of competitive cultivars that have been established over so long time. But there are some significant hurdles still in the way. The regulatory approval will take some time, and the acceptance in the marketplace is a significant hurdle. We hope and think that we can contribute with Fortuna to this discussion. First of all, we bring it from a rather theoretical level to a product-based one, and then Fortuna offers a really, truly green solution to an enormous problem in potato cultivation, and therefore we think we can make a step forward with this potato. And I would like to close with citing the former president of the Deutsche Forschungsgemeinschaft, Professor Ernst Ludwig Winnecker, who has said, "We need to fight with much more vehemence for an agriculture which, whether organic or conventional, utilizes the insights of modern biology and only thereby is able to feed mankind in a sustainable manner." Thank you.